Good morning to everyone. Good to see everyone here this morning. Good to have those of you visiting with us. We're glad that you're here, and we encourage you to open up your Bibles and study along with me as I go through the lesson this morning. If you have any questions, please write it down and get with me afterwards. It's all about discussing and learning concerning God's Word so that we might grow and accomplish His will in our lives. And so we appreciate you being with us, and you are a source of encouragement for us, and we're glad that God directed you our way. And so if you have your Bibles, if you will turn to the book of Romans, chapter 2 in particular, we're going to look at a few things from Romans as we deal with our theme this year has been more than conquerors, power from the cross. As Brother Evan gave a lesson last Sunday in reference to forgiveness from the death of Christ. And then because of what Christ has done, we can become more than conquerors. And so in our studies and in our discussions of this particular topic and theme this year, we've looked at several lessons. And one of the lessons that we talked about in reference to being more than conquerors was how we can do that. And it's by faith. And we gave a list of things in connection to being more than conquerors by faith. And that is faith in God, in His eternal power, faith in His authoritative power, and the power of His divine nature, and the power to be or to empower. And what we meant by that is when you look at chapter 1 and look at the degradation that is listed in chapter 1, God, because of who He is, can give us the power to overcome these things, to get out of the muck and mire of sin, this base thinking in actually reuniting with Him and raising us above and to be what He intended for us to be when He created us in His image and likeness. And so it is faith in God's power to empower us to overcome those things. And we have seen throughout our discussion of those who have done so, as the Apostle Paul, who was a persecutor of the church of the Lord, then ends up becoming a proclaimer of the Lord. And so here you see this power that is provided him, and he became empowered and overwhelmingly conquered the things that he was doing in order to accomplish the will of God. And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit more about this theme in reference to more than conquerors. And I titled the lesson as Becoming More Than Conquerors. How do we do that? Well, we talked about that by faith. But what's involved in becoming more than conquerors? And I believe chapters 2 and chapter 3 helps us to understand that, along with some other passages as well, and also some other things that are mentioned in the book of Romans to help us to be more than conquerors. So becoming more than conquerors, as we begin our study this morning, is by acknowledging and being aware that everyone will be accountable before God. And that's what you see there in chapter 2. In chapter 2, in verse 1 in particular, I want you to notice what Paul says to the Roman Christians. And remember, the audience is made up of both Jew and Gentiles. But notice as he helps the Jews understand that they are accountable before God, that they could not put their trust in their heritage to think, or their trust in the law to think, that they would not be held accountable. No, they would be. Everyone is held accountable. So he says, therefore, you have no excuse. You foolish person, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that matter in which you judge someone else, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. You're just as wrong as the Gentiles. You need a savior just like the Gentiles. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, you foolish person, who passes judgment on those who practice such things? And he's talking about all those things back there in reference to chapter one, that degradation. They were just as guilty of those things as the Gentiles and those who were practicing that. And he says, and yet does them as well that you will escape the judgment of God? No. No, you're not going to escape the judgment of God. Everyone will be accountable before God. Look at verse 9 in the same chapter. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of mankind who does evil. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who does what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. If you're putting your trust in your ancestral heritage, if you're putting trust in the law that God gave to the nation of Israel, no, that will not be able to make you right before God. You have to do things according to His will and what He has set up for everyone to be saved. And so everyone is held accountable. Everyone is going to be judged, including you, because there's no partiality with God. And so He brings that to their attention. And it's the attention that should be brought to us as well, to help everyone, even as I sit here and proclaim God's word, I am also held accountable as well. And I will be judged, everyone. And so He's bringing that to their thoughts and their minds for them to understand this important concept. Paul wrote this to the Corinthian brethren over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a given. There is no escaping that. Everyone will be accountable. And so becoming more than conquerors, realize that everyone is held accountable. And so there are some steps that we're going to be talking about as we go on in the lesson to help us to see what we can do to be right before God so that we can become more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5. As Peter writes to the Christians, in preparing them and helping them to recognize who they are, he says, in all this, they are surprised. In other words, those of the world, that you do not run with them in the same excesses of debauchery. And they slander you, but they will give an account to him. Now notice, to show that everyone is accountable. Account to him who is ready to do what? To judge the living and the dead. Inescapable. That's what he's pointing out in a passage like 1 Peter 4 and verse 4. So, as you're looking at these passages in helping us to understand becoming more than conquerors, we have to realize that everyone is held accountable. In fact, I had been toying with trying to find out what was a good title for the lesson. One of the things that I thought about doing was titling the lesson AIR. A-I-R. You say, why that? Because becoming more than conquerors, there are several things we have to do. And this is what Paul brings out in the letter to the both Jews and Gentiles concerning salvation. And that is we have to acknowledge, identify, and realize. the acronym AIR. Acknowledge, identify, and realize. Let us begin to talk about acknowledge. In chapter 2, this is what he's bringing to their attention. Not only is everyone going to be held accountable, but they have to acknowledge this. They have to acknowledge that God is going to judge those and all of us who do and sin before him. In verse 12 of chapter 2, notice, for all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Inescapable again, bringing that to their attention. They have to acknowledge that. When they begin to acknowledge this, then it can help them to begin to find out, how can I make myself right before God? If I am not right before God, he is going to judge me. I'm going to lose my soul. But how do I make it right? But you got to acknowledge that first. In chapter 3, verse 23, a passage that we often quote, you who boast in the law through, it's the next one. But those who boast in the law through breaking the law, do you dishonor God? They have to acknowledge that. That they did not keep the law. And because they did not keep the law perfectly, that they sinned, now they are against God. And here they are, as he says, you boast in the law through your law breaking. You dishonor God, absolutely. And because you dishonor God, you're not right with him. And the reason that he points out later on in chapter 3, verse 23, there it is, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So not only are the Gentiles in sin, but so are you. Acknowledge that. And when you acknowledge that, then you begin to look at the remedy that God has provided. A good example of this is Jesus' dealing with those who of the Pharisees in John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, what we see in the passage in this acknowledgement that Jesus said, for judgment, he says, I came into this world that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? They were the ones who called themselves the religious leaders. They knew the scriptures in reference to the Old Testament writings. And they even paraded around as those who were superior in this. And so with this, Jesus points out that because they are the ones, they claim that they are able to see, but they are really blind because they do not see who he is. And they don't realize that the Old Testament teachings was pointing to him. And so they are insulted by what Jesus says and say, are we also blind? And then Jesus says to them, as verse 41 points out, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. They were not able to see that they were standing in the wrong. And because they didn't see that, they did nothing about it. They did not acknowledge Jesus for who he was. They rejected it. And because their rejection of him, they rejected the teachings that Jesus taught that was from God. And so their guilt remained with them. But there were others who saw this. And they came to Jesus. Their prayers were different. Remember the publican that prays, doesn't even look up to heaven? Have mercy on me. Be a sinner. And there were many like that. Even with the woman who was taken, and they're bringing her before Jesus that she's committed adultery. They want to stone her. Point that Brother Evan brought out in his lesson. They wanted to stone her. As those men confronted Jesus with that, and Jesus pointed out, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. The older to the younger leaves. And as they leave, Jesus forgives this woman and tells her to sin no more. Her guilt was removed. But the Pharisees, their guilt remained because they did not acknowledge Jesus for who he was. And that's a lesson for us. So when it comes to becoming more than conquerors, we have to acknowledge our situation. We have to acknowledge who we are. We have to acknowledge our need. And then what we have to do is identify. That's what's pointed out here. We have to identify God's blessing in Christ Jesus. We have to identify that what God is pointing out to us should lead us to repentance. So in chapter 2 and verse 4, as Paul writes to these Christians here and others who would read these things to learn the importance of turning to the Christ. He says, or do you presume, he says, presume on the riches of his kindness? And forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. What were some thinking? Some were thinking that the good things, the forbearance, the kindness of God and his patience, that they were okay, that they had God's approval. Because God did not strike them down right away. So I must be all right. Things are going well. So I must be okay. They needed to identify that God's kindness is leading them to repentance. That's the point. But because, notice, there in verse 12 again, for all who have sinned without the law, remember, will perish without law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. Those who do what God teaches or God tells us to do, those who act and live accordingly. And if there is a failure to do that, and God doesn't strike you down, it doesn't mean that you're okay. It means you need to make things right. When you learn, that's his patience, giving you the opportunity to turn. So you need to identify that. You need to understand and identify that God's goodness is about repentance, leading us to repentance. Because over in Matthew 5, he points out to those who were listening to him, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So identify the blessings of God and turn to him. That's the point, that we would recognize God, that we would check to see, am I right with him? Am I doing his will? Because I woke up this morning and the sun is shining, understand that there are a lot of wicked people that has happened to. And it's by his mercy. It's by his patience. It's by his forbearance. It's by his kindness. I should turn to him. And constantly turn to him. Each day, make the commitment to follow him. Here is another passage in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. I believe Peter brings this out pointedly here as he writes to the Christians preparing them for suffering. He says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. Some have taken this to mean that there is no God. And some have taken that it's okay to continue in sin, because God hasn't done what he said he would do in their mind and in their hearts. But notice, as Peter continues to write and warns us, he's not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should reach or come to repentance. That's God's desire. So I need to identify those things. And when I identify them and realize the true source of salvation is Christ Jesus, then I can go. I can turn away from sin. I can become more than conquered through Christ Jesus, who died on the cross and who was raised from the dead to solidify the fact that he is the Son of God, and to show that I can trust him, that he has the power over sin and death. And then realize, as he points out there in chapter 2 and verse 5, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath. Realize that. Realize, if I remain stubborn and I don't repent, I am storing up wrath for the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deed. To those who persevere in doing good, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, notice the importance here, who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. You see the warning that's there. Realize that. Realize when we are not doing, if we don't obey the truth, If we live in unrighteousness, wrath and indignation, I'm storing that up for the day of wrath on me. And I need to make those changes. Drop down to verse 28, chapter 2. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. Realize that. Realize that it's about the circumcision of the heart towards God. Here is what Paul wrote to the Colossian brethren along that line about the circumcision of the heart. They're in verses 9 through 14. Realize that this is how this happens. It's in Christ Jesus. It's not in the law. It's not in the Old Testament things. It's in Christ Jesus. That's the point. For in him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Realize that the way that we become more than conquerors is by being buried with Christ in baptism. That's where the working of God, I'm operated on by him, and therefore it is the removal of the flesh of sin away from my heart, and now I am open and sensitive to God. Now let me pause here for a moment. When we teach about being buried with Christ in baptism, there are many that will say, you believe in works, and it is all by, it's God that's working. Let me share this with you. The apostle is telling the Colossian brethren and telling us as we read this, that I truly am trusting God to do the work of operating, cutting away the sin, washing away the sins from me, and when I'm raised up out of the water, that I belong to him. So I'm truly displaying trust in the working of God. That's what's going on. And so many have rejected being buried with Christ in baptism because that means I trust in works apart from God. No. I'm truly trusting God in his working. Notice again. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in what? The working of God who raised him from the dead. This is that circumcision. Verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. So when I'm buried with Christ, there is a circumcision that takes place without hands. It is the hands of God. It is God's work as the blood of Christ removes sin from me. And now I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me, Christ Jesus, our Lord. So becoming more than a conqueror, I have to acknowledge where I am. I have to identify God's blessing and patience and forbearance. That is to lead me to repentance. And I must realize that salvation is found in Christ Jesus. In fact, when Paul continues to write there in the passage, notice there in verse 13, when you were dead in your transgressions and the circumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. All. Even if we were caught up in some of the degrading things that are mentioned there in chapter 1, we can be forgiven. We can be empowered. And it's all because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And when we put our faith in Christ Jesus, which God set up, I am trusting in his system. I am trusting in his operation room. Christ Jesus, to remove sin from me. And notice verse 14, having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Hence our theme, more than conquerors, power from the cross. And let me end with this thought in reference to Romans 3, verse 21 through 24. Appreciate Brother Larry reading these passages. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets were pointing to this necessary act of God in Christ Jesus to save us. And even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. Just as everyone will be held accountable, everyone has the opportunity to be saved. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What a Savior. That's the point. Those are the thoughts. So becoming more than a conqueror, understand everyone will be held accountable. And we have to acknowledge our sins. We have to identify God's mercy that leads us to repenting, making things right, giving us that opportunity, and then realize that it's only in Christ Jesus that you and I can become more than conquerors. So with that said, if you will bow with me in a word of prayer. Oh Lord, our God, thank you for your mercy and loving kindness in Christ Jesus. Help us always to proclaim him. Help us to always follow him, knowing that these things is what pleases you. And help us, Lord, when we see things that are wrong, and acknowledge your patience and mercy, giving us the opportunity to make the necessary changes, that we will do so. And give you thanks and praise for that mercy and that time. Help us, Lord, to have confidence in what you have done for us. And as we submit to your will, that we will have that confidence, knowing that in the day of judgment, we will stand justified in your sight, not because of ourselves, but because of what you've done in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It is through him that we give you thanks, praise, honor, and glory. Amen. If you're not a child of God, you can become one. You can become more than conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. And what it requires is you to put your faith and trust in the Lord and be buried with him in baptism, where the circumcision that will be made without hands, God operating on you, removing your sins because of his blood or through his blood. And then when you're raised up out of the water, there is salvation. That's what Mark 16:16 teaches, and as well as over in Luke 24, and also Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It's all about the forgiveness of sins. It's all about salvation in Christ Jesus, as these passages point out. And that's what Jesus was talking about, being born again. And then, as Paul points out there in Romans chapter 6, that not only when we are immersed in water, buried in Christ, in the waters, and then we're in Christ, that we are united with him in his death, and we're united with him in our resurrection. What a tremendous glory, what a tremendous blessing that God has bestowed upon us in Christ Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to take advantage of that if you haven't done so already. And if you have and have fallen away, return to the Lord. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. If you even desire, Albert, I want to learn more, we'll provide that as well. We'll be glad to sit down with you and study more about these things to help you help ourselves as well to grow stronger in Christ Jesus. Because salvation is found only in him. And so if you're subject to the invitation, to God's call for every one of us, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that's indicated.